The occasion was so important, even though it was very formal. It was important in the sense that after 38 years, he was finally recognized by the Vatican. And I was asking people, who was against it more? Was it from El Salvador or from the Vatican? And some priests were telling me, they said, it's more from El Salvador than the Vatican. That the pressure was always, they didn't want him because he was always a sign of disunity, and he is a sort of measure, because the right wing party Arena, who were responsible, the leader of that party was responsible for his murder, they are still in power, so they're a very strong party, and as you were saying, they're the son of the assassin and the founder of that Arena party. He is mayor of a very large town in El Salvador. So even after, you could say, 40 years, there is great division in El Salvador, and it never. And I think the Pope, when in his address, was saying he hopes that Romero will be a sign of unity. But yet, you know, if you're talking about social justice, you know, and this party is totally right-wing, well, you know, you have a conflict there.
And you said that the son of the assassin was actually at the funeral.
Yes. Yeah, he was at the. He would have been above us here, and also where we noticed, so there's another fellow. The Jesuits, six Jesuits and two women were murdered in 1989, and. Among this group, they happened just to be in front of us, also was the ex-president of El Salvador, and his name is Cristiani, and he was there at the time of the murder of the six Jesuits and the two women. And the UN investigation afterwards said that he was present at the UN, at the Army High Command, when the decision was taken for the Jesuits. So it might be a sign of reconciliation at the same time, but Romero still has to be seen as a person who stood up really strongly for social justice and being the voice of his people. And
is he remembered very fondly from that point of view by the people? And are they still asking questions and wondering why his causes and why his causes of social justice weren't pushed?
Yeah, for the ordinary people, from his moment of his death, he was Saint. They used to call him San Romero of the America. And he was always a part of their life. But they would have recognized, obviously, so that he was out of favor with the Vatican at that stage. And many people then said what happened in 1980, before he was killed, he wrote to the President of America asking them to stop sending arms down to El Salvador, which was considered interference again, and he said all these arms were being used to kill his people. So therefore, he started accusing the Americans indirectly of causing assassinations. And it was said afterwards that was a very important moment, because that's when the American government moved against Romero. Because at that and it was said that the American ambassador to Italy would deliver his sermon to the Vatican Secretary of State first thing Monday morning, and that was only hours afterwards. So there was always pressure, because don't forget it was Reagan at that stage who was President of America. And some say that between John Paul, the Pope John, Saint John Paul II now, and President Ronald Reagan, there would have been a sort of indirect communication, in the sense that Reagan would have said, please, John Paul, will you take care of your priests? They're causing trouble in Latin America, not alone in El Salvador, but up in Nicaragua and different places. And if you do that, then we will support your cause in Poland. And you support, you know, Lech Walesa and all of that work, and with finance. So there is some evidence to say, like, that was sort of understood. Because when the Pope went to Nicaragua, you know, he excommunicated the priests who were in the government, and so there was all. And then when Romero was recalled to Rome, he was recalled to Rome three times, and the first time with John Paul VI he got on very well with him, and because he always kept a diary, and you can read his diary, and he says, "I was so happy coming out because," and then after his meetings with the Pope Saint John Paul II, he said "I was very I was very uneasy coming out because he gave out to me for causing disunity with the bishops." It was quite obvious because one of the bishops in El Salvador was the military chaplain to the armed forces. And he would have denounced priests in his diocese. And being denounced by a bishop meant your death warrant. Romero was that type of person. And in one of his speeches he said, "I'm so happy my priests are being killed. Because that proves they're one of the people. You know, they're not exempt." And when you're over there, you can see his old battered car that he used. He refused to allow anyone ever to be in the car with him because he always felt obviously he was going to be assassinated. Where and when, he didn't know, obviously. But
and, I mean, is the fact now, I mean, it all sounds very conspiratorial almost, but is the fact that he is now being beatified a sign of a change within the Vatican? I mean, it must be no coincidence that Pope Francis is only in there a couple of years and already the cause for Oscar Romero has been pushed through to beatification.
Yes, I think it's very, very obvious because not alone of that, but the famous Peruvian Gustavo Gutierrez, the first of the liberation theologians, has been invited into the Vatican on several occasions, has been seen leaving and coming, and others, Leonardo Boff, people who are almost excommunicated in the previous two popes. So there is a movement within, especially in the pontificate of Pope Francis, that he's trying to bring back the idea of social justice is an integral part of the Christian message, which it always was. And the Jesuits in 1980, obviously, you know, they said that, and it was always accepted. But he's trying to get that back in, that it's an integral part, that it's not an added extra, that social justice must be, and social justice would be the environment, the total creation of people, and everyone must be treated in a just manner, including the environment.
I mean, is that going to get Pope Francis in trouble in the same way that it got Oscar Romero in trouble? Because, I mean, there's already people who are dissatisfied with that idea, that he's, poking his nose into things that aren't his business. But as you say, social justice has always, in many ways, it's been the core message of the Christian message, but it hasn't always been the one to the front.
Yes, because what happened really in Latin America was the social justice became intertwined with the political situation. And, you know, after the bishops in Latin America came back after the Second Vatican Council in 1968, they met in Medellin 2 years later, and they put forward this, it was just unheard of idea, that God has a preferential option for the poor. And people were saying, "Oh, that means you're not going to look after the rich anymore." And and that still holds. It's a preferential. That is the teaching. There is a preferential option for the poor. It doesn't mean the rich are excluded, but they're called to conversion. So therefore, God is on the side of the poor, and everyone else is called for conversion. And it's a controversial, really. If we were all to put it into practice, to say, well, we're on the side of the poor and that's it. And, you know, when it comes to on big occasions of church thing, that the poor will be brought up to the front of the altar and the rich can stay at the back, you know. So it has all that sort of implications, that where we stand in relation to society. And I think it's very important. That's why I think Pope Francis has to be supported. Because of that is only one aspect. He's trying to reform the Curia, obviously, and governance of the church and decentralization. But equally, I think this message is very important. The person who was responsible for the beatification of Romero said that the Pope had told him that he wants more. For example, the Jesuits in Central America and in Brazil, he wants all these people who were murdered over the years to be brought forward as, you know, as true martyrs. Normally, over the last few years, if you examine the amount of saints, a lot of them have been the heads of religious orders. And that's because of, obviously, the power of religious orders and the finance. They're able to push, and they consider it, they want their head of their order a saint. And so it has been often independent of the situation on the ground, the social justice aspect. So that's why Romero is so important, that hopefully that he has brought together the two strands, that to be holy means to be just. And you cannot be one without the other.